Good morning, everyone. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 11. And one of the profound chapters in all of the Bible, I think, is chapter 11, because it reminds us of people who lived before us who did such incredible things with their life of faith. And because of that, they were often maligned and they were killed. Some of them lived in holes in the ground and in caves and so forth. And at the end of chapter 11, it says something to me that has struck me and has stayed with me now for a long, long time. And we're not actually in chapter 11 today. We're going to be there in a couple of weeks, but it'll set us up today for where we want to go. After talking about these people that had tremendous faith, he says this: "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." So he's writing to a group of people, a number of churches, probably house churches, encouraging them not to shrink back. That's one of the themes in this book of Hebrews, that there were second-generation Christians. They started off with great fervor and great faith, and now they were getting to fall back and to shrink back. And he said to us, don't do that, because there's more to each one of us than us. We belong to former ancestors who we've never heard about because they lived hundreds of years before us. But not just because we have their DNA in us, but because we have faith that they had. They didn't live for themselves, but they lived for us. And only would they be made complete or perfect if we maintain faith. If that's confusing, it goes something like this. We don't belong to ourselves. There were people of great faith before us, and they looked ahead to us, even though they never did know us. And one day, we will be in their shoes. If God permits, and hundreds of years from now, they might find pictures of us. They might look back at us. And maybe someday someone's going to stand up and remind them that there's more to us than us. People who lived before us left us a genealogy of faith. And if no one in your family, if you're the first one in your family to have faith, you are beginning something that will last for generations to come. There's more to us than here and now. And so he reminds Christians not to shrink back, because future generations depend on our faithfulness, however small it might be or however large it might be. There's more to us than us. Now, I'm saying all that today to remind us that there's more things coming for each one of us. And in Hebrews chapter 8, as was read today, it talks about a new covenant, a better covenant, that even though Abraham had a tremendous covenant given to him by God, and that later, as Israel continued to grow, that covenant continued to be seen. But there was always talk about a better covenant that was coming. And the Hebrew writer reminds us that Jesus himself is the better covenant, that our faith is based on who he is, what he has done for us, what he's doing in us, and how he can share that faith with others through us. But it's beyond that. Jesus is not only the better covenant, he is the covenant. Long ago, when God makes a promise to Abraham, it was seen as that was awesome. And Israel got to see a blessing of it. And more covenants were made, even as they traveled in the wilderness. There were more things that were spoken of, more promises that were coming. But those people back then never did get to see Jesus. And when Jesus was walking the earth, they walked with him, maybe not even knowing this is the covenant fulfilled. God spoke to Abraham, here he is. And now, 2,000 years later, we look back and go, they had people, there were people of faith back then. And they didn't know us, but they lived for us. And now it's our turn. It's our turn to be people of faith and not to shrink back. And there are more things even coming than that. So I'm not sure who's working the PowerPoint system today, but today's sermon is going to be a lot different. I'm going to not comment too much, but we're going to go through a lot of scriptures this morning, just emphasizing that because Jesus is the greater covenant, there are more things that will be coming, blessings for us and for future generations. So if the PowerPoint wants to get started, we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And you can just follow along. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. In these last days. And then if we would, Isaiah chapter 2, 2 through 5. We're going to go through these rather quickly. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Now, that might not seem like too much, but Isaiah, who lived some 700 years before Jesus came to the earth, said there's better things coming. We're not going to have to worry about fighting a war in order to maintain our faith, but there are better things on the horizon. And then the Hebrew writer picks up that theme to very despondent and discouraged Christians. And he says, remember, in these last days, we've been in the last days since Jesus walked the earth, that we have faith in him because he is the covenant. Let's continue. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through, I guess we'll go all the way through 1 through 4. And it begins by saying, here is my servant. I want to stop. So Isaiah is a book that mainly talks about Jesus. It's writing to the house of Israel, for sure, letting them know these things are going to happen. We read it today after it's already happened. So if you could put yourselves in the position of people reading this, we might say, when's it going to happen? And Isaiah might whisper, 700 years in the future. Well, what good is that for us? Because your faith today is important to show future generations that no one belongs to themselves, that we belong to each other. And Isaiah writes four top 10 songs called the four servant songs. And every time the word servant is used in Isaiah, he's talking about Jesus. Here is Jesus. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations, talking about Jesus. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands, meaning all nations, will put their hope. And then, if you would, verse 9, Isaiah 42 and verse 9. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Now, again, that might not mean too much to us, but we're the benefactors of what Isaiah wrote some 700 years in the past before Christ. So 2,700 years later, here we are on this side of Jesus, and the promise is still there. Something is coming. We haven't realized it yet, but something is coming. So if you would, chapter 49 and verse 6. Chapter 49 and verse 6 in Isaiah. We'll just give the PowerPoint people a little bit of a heads up. Chapter 49 and verse 6. He says, "Is it too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." Now, we've lived as Christians now for a long time, and we're Gentiles. We're not the nation of Israel. So we're the benefactors of something that was only spoken of in the future. We're now realizing this. We are the Gentiles. For the longest time, God's promises were made only to the house of Israel, Abraham, and so forth. But now Jesus is the covenant, and he embraces all of us. And when we read the Gospel of Luke, it's inclusion, 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 meaning there were always people that you didn't eat with. There are always foods you didn't eat. You didn't worship this way or that way. You stayed away from those kind of people. Jesus comes along into the world and he says, "God so loved the world. No more division. We want to bring all people together in Christ Jesus. A unified world, cosmos. In the beginning, God created." And then there was a downward spiral, and we're starting to read already, new beginnings are on the horizon. He says this 700 years before Jesus is born. And there are promises that you and I have not yet experienced, but someday will. But we belong to each other. And so notice with me two very popular, wonderful passages in Isaiah. Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66. Isaiah 65, 17 through 19. If you don't mind marking in your Bible, I've got this highlight in so many colors. It's like Joseph's coat. It's just highlight this everywhere. It's just huge throughout the Bible. "Behold," God says, "I will create," what? "New heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Israel and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more." Such a beautiful passage of scripture. And then, not to be outdone, look in chapter 66 and verse 22. "As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure." I missed this for so many years. I was never really a fan of looking back on ancestors, great-great-grandparents, and so forth. But I got thinking about that even early this morning. I don't know what your history is like. I know people can really go back and look at their ancestry and so forth. But I can go back maybe to my grandfather, who I don't remember, but I only heard about. So I can only go back like maybe 100 years and find out, well, what did they do as far as worship goes? What was it like for them? And from what I can ascertain, where they lived, they were in the middle of nowhere. And so they'd come together with a couple of friends and they'd gather together. What the church looked like back then, at least in my family, was completely different than what it looks like today. It was not institutional in any way. There weren't any church buildings for where they lived. There weren't any pews for them to sit. There wasn't a pulpit, didn't need to be a pulpit, didn't need to have a stage. It was just a group of people who kind of came together, and I would have loved to have been there, wouldn't you? What it would be like, who would say what? What would they do? I know they'd have communion together, but they'd be reading a version, the old King James version, and they'd understand it, and they'd come together. I don't know. But if the new heaven and the new earth comes long after we're gone, maybe 200 years in the future, wonder someday if somebody 200 years in the future are going to say, you know those people that worshiped in that church building in Beamsville? This is what they did. This is how they worshiped. We belong to each other. Generations in the past and generations in the future, if God detains. But we all belong to one another. And we all come together in Christ Jesus. And Jesus himself talked about a new future. If you would, Matthew chapter 19. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 19. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, at the renewal of all things, we've heard in the past, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, what I'm going to do, you're going to be part of it. So that's what Jesus said. Now, a few years later, here's what Peter says in Acts chapter 3. Jesus calls it the renewal of all things. Here's what Peter says in Acts chapter 3, 17. Here we go. Oh, that's Matthew. We need to go up to Acts. Acts chapter 3, 17 to 21. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins might be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Christ Jesus. And then verse 21, he must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to what? Restore what? Everything. Until God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. It's a beautiful description of one day what will come for us. Can't put it in mind, can't put it in picture. I mean, I believe like you believe that when we die, we go to be with the Lord. Paul said that. Apart from the body, present with the Lord. Go to be with God. But the one day, God is going to create all things new and fresh. May your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. The recreation of all things where God comes to dwell with us. 2 Peter 3, 8 through 13. This is somewhat of a frightening picture, but in reality, it's a looking ahead. 2 Peter 3, 8 through 13. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. fresh, if you will. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a, here's what Isaiah said, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So we can't really put into words what all of this looks like, but let me conclude by looking at what John saw in the Revelation. Two scriptures, Revelation 21 and verse 1. So I want to stop before I read this. I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus talked about it, and he said, at the renewal of all things, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus says, yep, that's called the renewal, at the renewal of all things. Peter calls it, it's the restoring of those new things. Peter gives us a glimpse of it. Here in Revelation, it says, here it is. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. That's where they believed all the nasty creatures lived. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I saw the new Jerusalem, heaven, if you will, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with us, and he will live with them. Stop. Just keep the PowerPoint right there for a minute, if you will. Haven't you ever got the picture, or maybe I'm the only one, that one day our bodies are gone and we're just kind of floating around? And then one day we're in heaven and we're just kind of floating around. But in reality, he's talking about something that's brand new that will come, where God will live with us and we will live with him. He will be coming to us in a new heaven which disappears and a new earth which is created new. We've always been shown we go to be with God, and that's true. If we die, we go to be with God, but one day he's going to create all things new where he comes to live with us. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Keep scrolling. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. There will be no more what? Mourning. We're not going to anyone's funeral anymore. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more arthritis. For the older ones and the younger ones. For the old order of things has what? Death has passed. Death died. Doesn't exist anymore. Gone forever. Do we see how amazing God views us? That he will one day give us all things new. We're not going to be a blob. We're not going to be a ghost floating around. We will be new and live with him. He will live with us. Revelation shoots us back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the end says, and one day, God's going to renew it all again. So Peter talks about we ought to live in such a way that we speed its coming, that we live in such a way that we have something to offer to people. No more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. We don't live for ourselves. We live in honor of those people in the past who lived for us, so we ourselves can live for the next generation and let them maybe experience something that we will experience someday, a new heaven and a new earth. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.